Okay, thank you. I'd like to start out by echoing the comments of my previous speakers and thanking the conference organizers for inviting me here. It's been very interesting for me to learn all about the MICHAEL project, as well as about these other projects. I think it really is a good basis for learning and comparison and sharing of best practices among these different projects. I am here to discuss the initiative for a World Digital Library, which Dr. James Billington, the Librarian of Congress, put forward in June of 2005 and subsequently took to UNESCO, and which we are now discussing with a number of partners at UNESCO and around the world. The focus of this project, it's very similar to many of the projects we've seen here. The focus of the project is to create a digital library of primary cultural materials from all countries and all cultures. It's not a mass book digitization project at all. The focus is on the cultural materials. Now, it's been clear from the meetings of the last day and a half that there's a tremendous amount of work going on in Europe. All kinds of interesting projects, all kinds of material being digitized. There are problems, of course, challenges, not enough money. Nobody ever has enough money. But clearly, there's a lot going on in Europe. The same is true in North America, Canada, and the United States. And it's also true in parts of Asia. But if you go to large parts of the world, there's not much going on in the way of digital conversion, digitizing of cultural heritage. So this project is going to focus very heavily on starting to develop a network and to generate digital content in the developing world. And we're not, of course, going to a World Digital Library by definition has to include European culture and Japanese culture and American culture and so on, Canadian, but that we're sort of thinking will more or less take care of itself in some fashion. And the focus of our project really is on working with some major developing countries and hopefully expanding outward. Our focus is very heavily on setting up a network of centers around the world. These will be centers for content creation, scanning, translation, metadata creation, but also ultimately down the road centers for access. And we're thinking of a network of mirrored sites at various places around the world which will distribute the content. Library of Congress has some modest experience in this area already. We've worked with the National Libraries of Russia. There are two, as you know. We've worked with an institution in Novosibirsk to set up scanning operations in Russia. We are also working with the National Library of Brazil and the National Library of Egypt, setting up scanning operations there to see if we can help work with these institutions to generate digital content and get their cultural content on the internet. We're working under a planning, a gift for a plan from Google. We're not in any way part of the Google projects, the book search project or any of the others. We simply received a gift from Google to develop a plan for a World Digital Library, and that's what we're working on right now. What I'm going to take you through very quickly is a mock-up of what we see a World Digital Library site looking like. And we will be moving from mock-up to prototype over the next year or so. But the important thing about this mock-up is not so much that this is the way to do it or this is the only way to do it. The important thing about this mock-up is that it's an exercise. It's part of the planning exercise. The idea is to look at what kinds of features, including the features that Namir just talked about, the social networking feature. Actually, he's ahead of us. We haven't really talked about the resident web, but we're certainly talking about the web 2.0, the social web, as well as all kinds of other things. Some of the things that Hala talked about, the GIS and so on. These are the kinds of things we want to include in here, as well as the multilingualism, and then work back to what kind of network and what kind of system architecture is going to support this. So I'll go through this very quickly. Details aren't very important, and this will be on the website, so you can cut me off whenever you need to. Very quickly, this is the interface, just a notional interface. I'm sure this will go through changes before we finalize it. In terms of multilingualism, we intend to start with 7 languages, the 6 official UN languages plus Portuguese. Portuguese is particularly important for us because we work very closely with the National Library of Brazil. And here, just for example, is the Russian interface. I won't show you the others. We're working on them. And for the multilingual, there are all kinds of definitions about multilingualism out there. What we are going to shoot for, and it's enormously ambitious, but we're going to shoot for full search and display in these 7 languages. Then moving beyond the multilingual issue, and I'm going to mostly show the English interface, although I will show an example of two of what will look like on the non-English interface. We then have a number of browse options, routes into the repository, and it goes without saying that this interface sits on top of a large repository of digitized material coming from the network of scanning centers around the world. This is the institutional page where you simply show the participating institutions. We work very closely with the National Library of Russia, have for a number of years, and here you see the browse option of some rare books from Russia. If we go back again to the institution page, my navigation is kind of weak on this. If you go to the other Russian library, the Russian State Library, and here you get a browse option for a photograph collection from the city of Tomsk. These are all already on the Library of Congress site from a bilateral project that we have with Russia, and we're going to be rolling over the images, some 800,000 images from the 2 big Russian libraries into this project. So that's the sort of institutional page, a collections page. That, of course, is very, very important because all institutions that contribute to this effort are going to want to see the integrity and the identity of their collections maintained, at least in one place. Okay, then we go to the type of item, which is a browse option. And here it's no longer the case that we're showing just the rare books from the National Library of Russia. Here it's the case where we're showing all rare books from all of the institutions that are contributing. And you obviously need the sort results over on the left. Sorting within browse will be a very important feature because topic, place, time, institution, and so on, because very quickly you're going to generate some huge lists here of items. This is the item level display. Basically Dublin Core, we're looking at very similar to the approach that's being taken here with Michael and with some of the other projects. We are on the English interface, so the idea here is it's a Russian item. We keep the title in the original Russian in the Cyrillic, but we all of the metadata has been translated into English. Then we have special features. Just to go through this very quickly, we won't do this for every book, obviously, because it's labor intensive and technology intensive, but we will have certain features where users can page through the books. One of the complaints we hear is we, the Library of Congress, some of our partners have spent an enormous amount of money digitizing rare books. Nobody ever looks at them. The idea here is to develop tools that are able to make rare books more accessible. Here's a sort of automatic translation device. And there's even an audio for this, which is very nice for the handicapped, for blind users. And again, we can't do this for every book, but we will have some talking book features. Okay, so that's the item level display. Let's go back to the browse options. We then have to have a timeline. Again, you have this in Michael as well, sort of looking across the same time, different place or different things. Here you have the same thing. Here you have the decade of 1600 to 1610. You have an item from Spain, an item from Africa, an item from the Philippines. You go to 1620. And so on. And then, of course, there's the next three where you could browse through these. Again, you would generate very, very large lists of items, and that's why you need to have the narrow results option, the sort within browse on the left. This is basically saying that for the decade 1620 to 1629, there are 2,341 items from Asia, and then you probably need to do further narrowing down within that. So that's your browse by time. And then we move to geographic. We have a very simple flat map geographic display here. We're looking at using Google Earth and some of the fancy kind of things that Hala was showing. But for now, we're just using this very simple flat map to show the idea. Here, the dotted line is the Trans-Siberian Railroad. We have thousands of photographs. We have thousands of photographs to illustrate the building of the Trans-Siberian Railroad, you can plot them along the map, doing it using the map feature. Lots can be done here with regard to geographic GIS systems. All kinds of scientific options can be done. That's an item level display, we go over to another part of the world, Brazil, and there you see again the sort within topic, and if you pick commerce, there you see all of the economic activity of Brazil: coffee, fishing, rubber, and so on. So that's the map option, very basic. I mean, the kinds of things that can be done with GIS applications are quite amazing these days. The stuff that's being done at the University of Sydney in Australia, the stuff that's being done at UC Berkeley, very, very impressive, and we hope to tap into that. Last browse option is the topic. We need to have some kind of topic search here. These are Dewey subject headings, Dewey classifications, rather. This is what the European Digital Library is using. Has advantages, has its disadvantages. We have to settle on what we're ultimately going to use. But here you see the power of this kind of subject, cross-subject searching, where you pick games, and there you see Baiga game from Uzbekistan, and baseball, and walrus tossing in Alaska, and some Japanese games, and so on and so forth. So that's the last browse option. Oh, and we'll have one more, and this is sort of a today's featured theme. Hopefully we can get volunteers to take these on, create a different, the one we picked was mosques. I'll save time. You could click on this fellow and he'll start talking about the mosque. It ties in with Namir's point about having curatorial presentations and so on, and we plan to develop a lot of that. Okay, so that's our last browse option. Now the reality, of course, is we know that no matter how many nice browse options based on metadata we put in, the users love to just go to the search box and type in whatever strikes their fancy, so we do have to have that. Here you have rivers. You type in search on rivers, and up come the Amazon and the Nile and the Amur and so on and so forth. Here's one more item level display. I'll show you this because it's French. It's a Japanese item cataloged in English because it belongs to the Library of Congress. And it's we've gone over to the French. Wait a minute. This is in English, yeah, so it stays in English. Now, if we go to the French interface, here we see this title stays the same, Japanese, but the all of the cataloging metadata information is in French. That's obviously going to be a big job to do all that, or to set up a network to do all that, but that's actually part of the advantage. Here then you do a more refined search, rivers, Russia photographs, type in, and then up come all of the great rivers of Russia, the Volga, the Amur, the Yenisei, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot that can be done with search based on the metadata, obviously. And then last but not least, we plan to have these memory pages, memory of India we picked, and these will be curated displays which will have to be developed by committees of scholars. Obviously, if people sit down at the Library of Congress, and we don't even have the people, but even if or the funding and so on, but if we had them, it would cause all kinds of problems. Because people would say, well, who are you to be writing our history? So we're going to have to engage the international scholarly community on this. But we basically want to develop curated displays dedicated to the sort of K-12 audience on India, on Egypt, on ultimately, you know, the United States, Canada, Europe, and so on. And it's basically a timeline built around the timeline with top treasures and so on. The timeline not being the arbitrary 1600 to 1620, but the timeline being the recognized, and I put that in quotes because there are all kinds of controversies here, the recognized historical periods of India as we know them. So that's the basic basic prototype. The only thing is I would point over to the My World and this site, or the My World. I don't have any of this here. We've taken this a bit further than on this site, but there's all kinds of Web 2.0 features that we need to make this interactive so people can blog, send in their comments, have chats with curators, create their own subsets, and so on and so forth. That's all going to be needed to be developed, but that's the basic idea. Thanks much.